You know, some things you never forget in life are times when you were truly terrified. I remember, I was maybe 8 years old, and a cousin of mine and I were playing around. It was one evening down by a pond that was at a farm that we farmed, and we're right down along the water, and all of a sudden, here comes a snake swimming right at us. And I mean, we were sure this snake was going to kill us and eat us alive. And so we turned and we ran faster, well, it seemed faster than I had ever run before and have ever run since. And we jumped into the pickup and we hid for dear life. We thought we were done for. We were sure that snake turned and came and followed us and chased us and everything. And we were sure it was a water moccasin, but there are no water moccasins in Iowa. It was a little bull snake that probably didn't even care that we were there, but it did not matter. We were on the run for our lives. Have you ever found yourself running and hiding in life? And by hiding, I mean a time in life when sin has gotten hold of you, but maybe you're really the only one who knows about it. On the surface, all appears well. But in private, it's a different story. I've been there before, and I can only assume that I am not alone. Or maybe it's just a time that maybe it's not an outright sin. Maybe it's something that you know God wants you to do, but you just really don't want to do it. Now, we may not verbalize it this way, but the truth is, in those times in our lives, we are ultimately running and hiding from God. And if you're anything like me, you struggle or have struggled to see a way out of that. Now, if this is you or if this has ever been you, you are not alone. And you are by no means the first person who has dealt with something like this. One of God's own prophets, old Jonah in the Old Testament, he tried to run and hide from God simply because he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. He did not want to go in the direction that God had in mind for him. Today, we're going to begin a short series on the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah is a book that has largely been left in the children's section of the Bible, of course, because of the big fish story that it is. This is the image that I have in my head every time I turn to the book of Jonah, because this is the very book that I grew up with this story. But this book is so much bigger than this. And as we go through this series, pay attention closely to the familiar story that we're used to hearing, because there is much more here than meets the eye, especially pertaining to the loving, pursuing, and forgiving nature of God Himself. Our goal today with this lesson, we're going to explore some key characteristics about the nature of God that we see in action just in chapter 1. And we want to do this so that when we encounter those times in our lives, when we find ourselves running and hiding, we can be more prepared and inspired to see a way out of that. So if you want to turn with me to Jonah 1, let's walk through our story here. Our story begins with God speaking to Jonah. And he tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh is an enemy city as far as Jonah is concerned. He's going straight to the enemy. This would be just about the same as if we were asked to go to another country that is not friendly to Christianity, or maybe not friendly to Americans either, and we're supposed to walk around that city and tell them that they're all doomed to condemnation. That's what God wants Jonah to do. Now, I can only assume that I'd be just like Jonah. I probably wouldn't want to go do that. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't want to go. Now, we're not told what he said to God, but we're certainly told what he did. He found a ship that was bound for the end of the world, the end of the Western world, is where this ship is headed. He's in this town of Joppa, and he boards this ship, pays his fare, and gets on, and boards this ship for Tarshish. And the text tells us twice in the first four verses that he's doing it to flee from the presence of the Lord. And I'm thinking, really? Anyway, the ship departs, and as soon as it does, it gets windy. And I don't mean just a light breeze. It's hurricane force winds that threaten the very ship itself. Now, the sailors in charge of this ship immediately start to try to unload the cargo and save the ship. And interestingly enough, each one of them cries out to his own God. That's what the text tells us. So these guys are religious people. Now, where's Jonah in all this? The one who's actually supposed to be serving Yahweh, the real God? He's down in the hull of the ship, fast asleep. So one of two things. He is either at peace with his decision to run away, or he is in a deep state of depression. My guess is it's probably the latter. Well, the frustrated captain goes down and wakes Jonah up and says, "Man, get up here and pray to your God. Maybe he'll hear us and maybe he'll help us." And so he's not serving too great of an example here with what he's doing. Well, the sailors on board are convinced that somebody is to blame, because anything bad happened in those days, it's always somebody's fault. And so they cast lots to try to figure out, all right, who's to blame for this storm? And Jonah draws the short straw. So they interrogate him. "Who in the world are you? What have you done to cause this? What's your job? Where are you from? Who's your people?" They ask him every sort of question under the sun. Well, what's really amazing is Jonah actually comes clean about all this. I'd think by this point I'd be afraid to admit any of this, because who in the world knows what would happen. But he admits it. He tells them everything. Who he is, what he does, the fact that he fears the Creator God, and he even tells them what he's been sent to do and how he's on the run from it. Now, these sailors may be pagans, but they're smart enough to know that you don't run away from God. Jonah has made his God so small in his own mind that it is beneath the very thinking of that of these pagan idolaters. And that scares them to death. So they ask Jonah, "What do we need to do to put a stop to this storm?" And Jonah says, "Throw me overboard. You know, not take me back to Joppa. Not, well, I'll pray to God and I'll repent and I'll tell him that I'll go. No, just throw me out. Just throw me in the water." So Jonah is on the run from God. He's trying to hide from God. And now he's giving up on God. Well, the sailors, they don't want to be responsible for this guy's death. They have no idea what's apt to happen to them if they throw him in. They don't want to be guilty of this. So they try to row ashore to give Jonah a chance, but that doesn't work. The storm just continues to get worse. So they eventually pray to Yahweh. They pray to God, and they ask God not to hold this man's fate against them. And with that, they threw him out. And of course, immediately the winds settle down, and these guys are totally astonished at this point. And they, now the text tells us, they fear God. They fear Yahweh, the real God. And they offer sacrifices to him, and they make vows to him. So this whole instance converted these sailors, is what happened. Well, of course, as soon as the sea calms, they watch Jonah get swallowed by a big fish. And that's where our chapter ends. As we look at this chapter, you know, the book is about Jonah. It's titled Jonah. But really, there's a lot in here about the nature of God. And so what I want to do here is look at about three characteristics of God that we see in this story. And the first one I notice here, God is a one-way God. You look at just the first few verses in Jonah 1, and God says, go to Nineveh and cry against it. Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled up a great wind. It's like, no, Jonah, you don't have a choice in the matter. I said, go. God told Jonah to go. It's a one-way street. When God says go, we don't get a respond with, nah, I'm good. I think I'll just stay here. That's not how we get a respond to God. When God says do, we don't get to say, I don't want to. And even Jonah knows this, and so he runs. He's aware that he can't do that. Well, when Jonah makes this decision, it doesn't go well. He soon learns that attempting to run from God arouses the storm. And that's exactly what happened. Jonah is a good example of what happens when we try to do things contrary to the will of God. Whether it be a certain sin, whether it be a lifestyle, whether it be a choice of direction in life, Jonah shows us what can happen. You see, God's design for the way we live, the way we behave, the way we serve Him is also a one-way street. How do you suppose in the Old Testament, for example, the Israelites, how do you suppose God would have reacted at Mount Sinai if the Israelites would have said, well, God, we agree on that do not murder thing, but we still want to lie, steal, and covet. There, we don't get to pick and choose with God. It doesn't work that way. Now, we like to be able to pick and choose. We like choices. When we take a trip and we use something like Google Maps, it gives us options. You know, we're used to options in life. But with God, He gives us one way. Here's some things just to think about in Scripture that we see that are one-way things with God. And there's a lot that we could put on this list. These are just some examples. One of them, we see it in Ephesians 4, like over in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, we are to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. Forgiving others is not an option, and we've been given a standard by which we do that. We are to forgive others as we have been forgiven. That is a one-way thing with God. Another one-way thing with God is moral purity. If you read 1 Corinthians 6, you're going to come away realizing that there is only one way with God when it comes to moral purity. And it is a big deal because those sins are sins that are committed with the very temple of the Holy Spirit. We take the Spirit with us when we commit acts of moral impurity. And it's a one-way street. We don't do that with God. Our salvation is a one-way street. We have to believe in Jesus to be saved. We have to turn away from our sins to be saved. There is no other way to do that. And we have to be immersed into Christ. We have to be baptized. We learn all throughout the book of Acts that baptism is the point at which the sin problem is resolved. These are one-way street things with God. Even sometimes when God wants us to do something, but maybe we don't want to do it and we respond with excuses. You know, perhaps God is placing on your heart today to get involved in a certain ministry and you've just resisted. This may be God telling you to go and do. Don't run and hide from that. We may attempt to take our lives in a different direction than what God wants for us. But we have to know it very well may arouse a storm. And it certainly did for Jonah. Now, Jonah isn't only trying to take his life in a different direction. He's trying to run and hide. He's literally running from the presence of the Lord. And as I see that, I can't help but think, here's another characteristic about God that we learn here. God is too big to run and hide from. Think about Jonah's thought process for a moment here. How big, or I should say, how small had he made God to think that he could actually hide? If God is God, can you actually flee from his presence? But the question is, have you ever tried to? Because I know I certainly have. I can think of times in my own life when I have tried to hide in my sin and tried to hide after my sin. And it caused nothing but misery and despair. But see, here is where the amazing nature of God is on display in this. God didn't just give up on Jonah. God pursued Jonah. Now, his pursuit wasn't necessarily pleasant for Jonah, but I think in the end, it ended up working. I think back about, it's been over 20 years ago in my life now, when I was in my early 20s, this was me. This is what my life looked like. I was in hiding. And I was living a lifestyle that was not at all what it should be. And I'll spare you all the details, but I can tell you this much. I made it look good on Sunday morning. And that's what it was really egregious as I look back. I made it look really good on a Sunday morning. But the rest of the week was a different story. Well, one fall, and one of the things that I used to do, I spread fertilizer in the ag industry for a living. And one fall, I was doing that, and I was driving a fertilizer spreader down the road. I put one on the screen because I'm sure a lot of you don't know what these look like. If you've been in ag, you probably do. I'm driving this thing down the road, fully loaded, would have weighed about 55,000 pounds. And they go 48 mile an hour, top speed, by the way, and that's what I would have been doing. And I turn a corner, and I'm driving and get the thing up to speed. And my next memory is I am inside of a barn. I had blacked out, and that thing veered off the road, and it jumped through a ditch, and it was headed straight for a silo. Which if it would have hit, chances are pretty high I would have died. And as you see the tracks on the ground, at the last minute, that thing just took a 90-degree turn. And it turned and crashed into the side of a barn. I was uninjured. Well, didn't have a seatbelt on. Who knows how much I was bouncing around in that cab. And I was unscathed. Well, it didn't take long for me to realize, dude, you need to wake up. There's something better for you if you just survived that. You need to wake up. Here's the deal. God loved me enough to send me a storm to get my attention. It took some time, but it eventually worked. Now, don't hear me wrong. It doesn't mean that when we experience storms, we've done something wrong. It may simply be life happening. But storms are a tool that God will use and can use to help see us in His direction for His purpose. And a big part of the Jonah story is God's pursuit of people. People that He loves. People that He loves enough to pursue at any cost, even life-threatening storms. Now, as the sailors cast lots and they figure out that Jonah is the problem, we see another great characteristic here of God on display. And that is the fact that God loves U-turns. Look again with me at, well, let's get down here to verse about 14 through 16. So Jonah tells them to throw him in the sea and all of that. And then they called on the Lord. And of course, they ask God, don't hold this against us. We don't want to perish for all of this. So verse 15, they pick up Jonah and throw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Now look at verse 16 very carefully. Then the men feared the Lord, and that's Yahweh, the Lord, greatly. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord and made vows. These guys turned to God. They were polytheistic pagans. They had their own God. Jonah, the one who's actually supposed to be serving Yahweh, is trying to run and hide from him. Great example he's setting. Now let's examine God here. God was concerned about the welfare of everybody involved here, not just Jonah. And although the sailors were pagans, you'll notice that the Holy Spirit, in the writing of Jonah, paints these guys in a favorable light. And here's why. While Jonah's trying to give up, they want to keep trying. Jonah is willing to just give up and die, and they want to save his life. When they finally throw Jonah in the water, at his own request, by the way, the sea calms, and they offered sacrifices to God, and they made vows to him. So Jonah, the prophet of God, runs from God. The sailors run to God. Jonah jumps, and the sailors make a U-turn. Now, we see this other places in Scripture, all throughout Scripture, but we can see God is willing to pardon anyone who will make a U-turn regardless of what they have done. Sometimes we tell ourselves things like, yeah, I just can't be forgiven. What I have done is just too much. God can never forgive me. That is simply Satan trying to keep you from the love of God, is what that is. Don't buy it. It isn't how God is. We have no idea what these sailors had done in their lives. It didn't matter. What mattered is that they turned to God. And God is able, Hebrews 7 and verse 25, to save to the uttermost, the word is used there, those who draw near to God through him. God is able to save to the uttermost. That means completely, it means forever, it means to the nth degree, the infinite extreme, God is able to save, and he will, anybody who will turn to him. If you've been running from God, going in the opposite direction, or trying to hide from God in and after your sin, this story reminds us that God loves U-turns. No matter how egregious our errors may be, God just wants us to turn from them and turn the other way, to just stop running from God and start running with him. Now, as our story ended today, Jonah gets swallowed by a fish. And as we move forward in our series, we're going to see that God is going to give him an opportunity to make a U-turn as well. The question is will he take it? Stay tuned. But if you're running in the wrong direction, today's the day to make a U-turn. If God is telling you to do something, today's the day to make a U-turn. Here's a challenge. I put a challenge in the bulletin, a spot to write down a challenge. Very simple. Write down one thing that needs a U-turn in your life. And there is your focus from this lesson. God is a one-way God. He's too big to hide from, and he would love nothing more than for you to turn toward him today. He is eagerly awaiting you. If we can pray with you about something in your life, we would be honored to do that. Maybe you've never started running with God. Well, today is the day to join him. And that begins with believing in him, trusting in his power to save you, and turning, making that U-turn, that repentance from your sins, and putting him on in baptism so that you can bury that old self and be raised up to walk with God as a new person. If we can help you with anything this morning, we would love to do that as we now stand and sing.